May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts now and always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to imagine a bookcase. In it is a book which a man has never read. It may be the glory and the wonder of the tragedies of Shakespeare. But so long as it remains unread upon his bookshelves, it is external to him. One day he takes it down and reads it. He is thrilled and fascinated and moved. The story sticks to him. The great lines remain in his memory. Now, when he wants to, he can take that wonder out from inside himself and remember it and think about it and feed his mind and his heart upon it. Once the book was outside him, now it is inside him and he can feed upon it. It is the same way with any great experience in life. It remains external until we take it within ourselves. It is so with Jesus. So long as he remains a figure in a book, he is external to us. But when he enters into our hearts, we can feed upon the life and the strength and the dynamic vitality that he gives to us. For the last four Sundays, the lectionary readings have taken us through the journey in the John's Gospel, hovering over chapter 6. The journey started with the feeding of the 5,000 and continued on through a discussion over whether Jesus would provide more bread, like Moses did in the desert, and then onto Jesus' claim to be the bread of heaven. And last week, we read about the bread of life. This week, we come to the climax of the conversation, where Jesus states in a bold and explicit way, saying, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This was a shocking message to the Jews. To eat flesh and drink blood sounded cannibalistic. The idea of drinking any blood, let alone human blood, was revolting to the religious leaders because the law forbade it, as we read in Leviticus chapter 17, 10 and 11. The crowd is understandably confused by this turn of phrase. The Jews dispute among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" What was Jesus talking about? Should people start taking chunks out of Jesus' arms and legs and eat them to live forever? When Jesus said we must drink his blood, he meant that we must take his life into the very core of our hearts. Just as feeding good food nurtures the good within us, so feeding on Christ should have similar effects, a transformation in our hearts, in sharing God's love, joy, and peace, having patience, showing kindness to others, having self-control, being gentle. Reflect, as you give yourselves to Christ, what Jesus gave to his Father, his everything. Have you ever noticed that most of the social life of churches revolve around food? Think about it for a minute. Weddings involve receptions. Funeral involves wakes. Many of our congregational meetings involve refreshments, even if it is only a cup of tea or coffee. Food certainly encourages fellowship. Sometimes that happens at the dinner table, in our prayers, our reaching out in compassion to another, our acts of justice, our weeping for the pain of the world, our recognition of another human being in the image of God. In the eating and drinking of Christ's flesh and blood, he lives in us, and we live in him. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life." These words do challenge us to think whether there is life within us. It pushes us to discover the hunger within us and the life Jesus wants to feed us. This life that Jesus is giving isn't something that we can postpone until the future. It is our promise in the present. This life is a promise of unity with God. We abide in God as God abides in us. How have you experienced Christ in your lives? How would you describe it? Most of the time, when we describe our lives, we focus more on our circumstances, what we do, than what really matters and enlivens us. We talk about where we are from, where we live. We talk about work, our roles, our schedules. We talk about what we have, what we want, our health, our age, our struggles and difficulties in our lives. We express our views about politics or religion, how things were, the way they are now, and the way they should be. All of this may be true and accurate descriptions of our lives. The circumstances of our lives are not unimportant. They all matter, and they make a difference. They are not, however, the way Jesus thinks of and looks at life. Jesus says in Matthew 6:25, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Aren't our lives more than our circumstances?" If Jesus sees life as more than our circumstances, then maybe we should too. What is that more for us today? Our gospel reading calls for a personal and intimate union with Christ. As Jesus offers himself as the living bread, he invites us to a deep spiritual nourishment through union with him. Growth comes from actively participating in the life of Christ, which sustains us and leads to eternal life. This union with Christ is transformative, as it shapes our identity, purpose, and relationships. May we engage in this meal, not only do we remember we are all part of the same family, we become the living bread of God. And when that happens, that circle representing our sense of family becomes an ever-widening circle as we share God's love with all others. When Jesus told us to eat his flesh and drink his blood, his invitation for us is to feed our hearts, souls, and minds on him, and to revitalize our lives with his life until we are filled with the life of God. May we be strengthened and sustained by Christ's risen life to serve him in our world. Amen.